also a new spew. Karen and Kaiser gives a clue of circus act. I'll give you the answer in just a moment. A tool to tick in liquid is straw. Gail came up with that. Steve and Sharon, good morning and a happy new year. Steve also knew spew. Jim in Crafton Heights has to scatter. A word starting with S, ending in W, meaning to scatter. Strew? I think that's strew. And yes, Steve and Sharon got that. Ed came up with the playground fixture of seesaw, as did Gail in Stanton Heights. And we also have Larry in Elwood City, who came up with seesaw, as did Jeff in Maine. And hi, you're on the Saturday Light Brigade. Who's this?
Hi, this is Casey in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey, Casey. Nice to hear from you. And Ricky,
thank you.
Ricky wanted me to get you on so quickly, she didn't even have a chance to tell me what's going on.
Well, I have an answer for the playground equipment.
Oh, yes. And what is it?
It's a seesaw.
Yes, exactly. Now, did you ever, do you have any, like, brothers or sisters in your family?
I have one younger brother. I think I know where this is going.
Yes, we all did it. Now, I'm the youngest of three. But the idea, right, is you put your little brother on one end of the seesaw, the one that, and have him be at the bottom, and then you jump on the other one to see if he can fly.
Yep. So, yeah, his name's Tyler. Tyler, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Casey, I'm glad you called. Let me give you, we don't have too many left. This would be a whole lot of, and it's a pretty small word, a whole lot of, or many, many, many. You would say you've got a blank of these.
Oh. A slew.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Hey.
Excellent. Well, I hope you have a happy new year, and I hope you'll call us again, too. It's good to talk with you.
Thank you. Great talking with you. A happy new year.
Take care. That's Casey in Indiana, and broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Thanks for playing along this morning. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Coast Town, Phoenix, WSAJ-FM Grove City, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW-LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find links to our own player, as well as TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and our unique Listen by Phone number, where you can simply listen by calling 631-359-8728.
Everybody gather round when they hear the swings in town. Everybody say, swing that thing. When the band starts to play, everybody say, hey, 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 man, swing that thing. Swing it hot, swing it cool, make that rhythm pop. Once you start to swing that thing, there's trouble if you stop. Professors in music school tell the kids, forget the rules, just hold on tight now, swing that thing. We'll be right back. grass pickers forget their licks. Peter, Paul, and Mary drop their picks when people ask them to swing that thing. Musicians from the hearts of space raise their hands and slap their face. They say, I didn't know you could actually swing that thing. Drives the women crazy. It makes the men insane. Once you start to swing that thing, you'll never be the same. Kids forget to rock and roll. Grandpa, he just lose control when Grandma says, honey, swing that thing. King of France, but Louis didn't stand a chance when the people said, swing that king. Yeah. And Luther told the Pope of Rome, said, Pops, leave your stuff at home, man. The people up here, we gonna do that Zwingli thing. Yeah, look it up. Oh, swing it high, swing it low, swing it upside down. Once you start to swing that thing, you'll never touch ground. And Mozart said to J.S. Bach, Johann, put your horn in hock, man. You ain't never gonna swing your thing. Swing it, Johann. Take it, man. Nice try. Swing that thing. Oh, swing it high. Swing it cool. Make that rhythm pop. Once you start to swing that thing, there's trouble if you stop. Everybody gather round when they hear the swings in town. Everybody say, swing that thing. Everybody say, swing that thing. Everybody say, swing that thing.
Joel Mavis here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And Joel Mavis is from Michigan. And interestingly, Mark V is in Swissville this morning. And he gave a clue for the puzzle we were playing last hour of a town in Michigan, starting with S and ending in W. And if my memory is right, this is a very appropriate town because it's known for making steering, starting with S, wheels, starting with W. I'll give you the answer in just a moment. The Circus Act, we did not answer that. That's a sideshow. Mike and Mars got the correct answer. Hello to Jim in Blackridge, off to Beaver Falls. He is heading. And the city in Michigan we were looking for. Did you get it? Saginaw. Saginaw, Michigan. I think there's a song called Saginaw as well.
Prime Stage Theater joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Prime Stage Theater's 6th Annual Drama Awards takes place at the Hillman Performing Arts Center in Fox Chapel on January 10th. Celebrating the creativity and teamwork of high school students from schools who produce non-musical plays for their schools and communities. More details are available at primestage.com.
Lefty Frizzell, Ralph Stanley, and Jimmy Dale Gilmore are among those who have recorded Saginaw, Michigan. Thanks for being here with us at the Saturday Light Brigade. Also here with us is Skylar Edson. Skylar is 15 and she is in ninth grade and is a student at Interlochen Arts Academy, which incidentally is in Michigan. She's a student at that school. She is in town for the holidays, I would imagine. And she is going to share some original music with us. We'll talk with her after her first song. Here is Skylar Edson.
You got a funny way saying that you love me. You slam the door, say you need more, then come back the next day. You got a funny way saying you won't leave me. You dance with her, it's all a blur. That's what you'd say, but this isn't so funny anymore. No, this is not what you said I signed up for. I'll dig myself a grave and say our love is true. I'm sure that's so saying you don't love her. You say you're friends and kiss again after making a promise. You got a funny way saying that I'm your girl. Wish I were dead, want her instead. Well, I don't want this, 'cause this isn't so funny anymore. No, this is not what you said I signed up for. I'll dig myself a grave and say our love is true. But everything is funny when it comes to broken-hearted people in the side of the room. I didn't want to dance with him, 'cause I wanted to dance with you. Keep your bright lights and drunk fights, and she's only one night to yourself. I don't want somebody who still has a lover. Admit it, you love her, you love her. Leave me quickly, I'll take a quick hard stop. 'Cause I'm not laughing. Not what you said I signed up for. I'm picking up the pieces. Our love wasn't true, but I'm sure that's all so funny to you.
Skylar Edson, that's a nice song. Tell me more about it. What's it called, and when did you write it?
It's called Funny, and I wrote it after a school dance that I went to, and I always write like good songs after I'm like so tired after like a big night, because I'm just like so inspired by all the people around me, and I like to think about like the stories of those people. This song wasn't about me, it was about somebody else that I saw at the dance, but yeah, it was so interesting to me, and I went back to my dorm and I just wrote it really quickly.
Interesting that you say you probably have a lot of your output when you're tired or kind of your energy is spent. Have you thought about why that is?
I think it's mostly because like I've just had so much like output around me, and like it's all in my head at that moment, and so like it's really easy for me to get inspiration then. Yeah,
it's probably a way to come down to or to process what it is you've taken in.
Yeah.
After all of that, and to make some sense out of it. When you write in that fashion, are you pretty much done once the song is done, or do you come back to it?
Definitely not. Whenever I'm that tired, there are definitely some lyrics that I look back on and I'm like, what was I thinking? What on earth? But usually I get, whenever I'm like that, I get like the basic idea of the song down and I know what the song is going to be. It's just like that little bit of editing that needs to happen.
Now, when did you start writing music?
I started writing music whenever I was like 5. I wrote a song about the animals at the zoo. That was my first song. And yeah, I've been writing my whole life.
I'm not going to ask you to sing it, but I'll bet you still remember it.
A little bit, yeah.
And how about guitar? Is it your first instrument?
My first instrument was actually the ukulele. I started on the ukulele whenever I was like that little, because it fit my hands. And it took me a long time to transition from the ukulele to the guitar, but eventually I got there, and now I love the guitar more than anything.
Now, I'm curious about Interlochen. Interlochen Arts Academy is in Interlochen, Michigan. Is this your first year there?
Okay, yeah.
So you left home, I'm guessing maybe Quaker Valley?
Yeah.
You left Quaker Valley High School to go to Interlochen. That had to be quite a decision and a real adventure. Tell me a bit about that.
I knew I was in Quaker Valley Middle School, and I don't know, I knew I wanted to be in an art school the next year, because I just, like, I had such a passion and I've been doing it for so long. I knew, like, I needed to be around people who understood that. And so we were looking at art schools, and it was actually my voice teacher who told me about this school called Interlochen that had a major for songwriters. And like, songwriting is the thing I do. Like, that is my main musical journey. And a lot of schools just have like, you can be a guitar major, you can be a, but this had like a specific major for me. And I went and I toured the school, and I loved every bit of it. And so I went there freshman year and I just finished my first semester.
Congratulations. I think that's making that kind of, whether you want to call it a reboot or just a fresh start, I think it's a real risk. I mean, I imagine you were able to make friends quickly, because there must be a lot of people there that you have a lot in common with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was definitely a very big change, but like, I loved every minute of it. I would never go back. Like, it's so great.
Skylar Etzen is the voice you're hearing. We're going to have time for two more songs. I will have a short little video clip of her on our Facebook page if you want to see her and get a sense of her. Also, at Instagram, she is at Skylar. That's S. K-Y-L-A-R, like Skylar, _ Edson, mm-hmm. is where you can find her. What song would you like to do next?
The next song I'm going to be playing is called Free, and I wrote this one a long time ago, probably like 2 years ago, and it's one of my all-time favorites. It's a forbidden love story, and I hope you like it.
Us crazy, call us absurd. Don't worry, baby, it's only words. They wish they were us, deeply in love. They say we're hopeless, but we won't quit when it's tough. 'Cause every step we take is us in, and every stand we make is just us being rebels again. And anytime I say I'm in love, they say that's not what I'm feeling again. So take my hand, run away. We're so much better than this. To a world where they won't call us ridiculous. You never know you're tortured till you're perfect lives, what we've learned, there's none of that. In this wonderland world, the best of us are mad. And you know that's the place for you and me. Climb up the mountain to look at the sun. They can't find us here. It feels like we've won. Order of the council says find these freaks. They want us separately, so I guess we'll have to leave. 'Cause every step we take is a sin. And all the plans we've made are just us being dreamers again. And anytime I say I love you, they say you're just a friend again. So take my hand, run away. We're so much better than this. To a world where they won't call us ridiculous. You never know you're tortured till you're free. Perfect lives, what we've learned, there's none of that. In this wonderland world, the best of us are mad. And you know that's the place for you and me. Been through more than they've imagined. In small towns, fake smiles is all they ever see. We've never blended in and they hate different. That's why they say we could never be. We're backed into a corner, their knives up to our throats. They say I should never love you, but I love you like you. Knowing that's the best feeling, which just goes to show. Take my hand, run away. We're so much better than this. To a world where they won't call us ridiculous. You never know you're tortured till you're free. Perfect lives, what we've learned, there's none of that. In this wonderland world, the best of us are mad. And you know that's the place for you. Be free.
Skylar Edson, great song. I'm curious, certainly you're comfortable performing and sharing your songs. What's it been like at Interlochen, though you're in, I suspect, a very supportive environment, but also one that is going to be full of feedback and ideas? What's that been like?
I love being surrounded by people who's like love music as much as I do. And like, there have been some tough points. Like, it's, you definitely have to work hard there, to be supported, but it is such a great environment, and every piece of feedback I get, like, I totally, like, I understand it, and, like, obviously I don't take every single piece of feedback, but, like, it's just been so helpful in my songwriting career.
And peer feedback comes through as well as that from the instructors
there? Absolutely, yes.
I'm curious who is here with you today, and if there's anybody else you might like to acknowledge.
I'm here with my mom, my stepdad, and my stepbrother. Yeah, and then also I want to acknowledge my dad, who is probably listening. And then I also have two dogs. Their names are Frank and Little Dog, and I love them so much.
That's good. They deserve a song, maybe, one of these days, not to give you any ideas. You're going to do one more. People can find you at Skylar_Edson on Instagram. Any other places people should look for your music?
Mostly just Instagram. I'm hoping to release something soon. I'm getting some demos done, and I'm working in the recording studio a lot, so hopefully I'll get some stuff out on Spotify and stuff.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here with us today. And we'll get one more. What's it called?
It's called Oh Dear Bobby.
Thank you to Skylar Edson for being with us.
Bobby was an outcast on the wrong side of town. People stare at their boots when she comes around. She came from Georgia all the way to Tennessee. Never stops running. A girl's got places to be. But people will call her a thief. Came in with nothing. She came out a wealthy queen. She blew the safe and got away with all the gold and green. One way ticket to Mississippi. The sun, they're gonna find you, but for now you think you've won. Oh dear Bobby, what have you done? Danced in the rain till she got soaking wet with her old drunken cowboys always whispered her name. It was a new town, a rebirth, but her image was the same. One way ticket to Mississippi. For now you think you've won. Oh dear Bobby, what have you done?
what has Bobby done now? Nurse and the farmer, they say they've never liked her, but what has Bobby done now? Oh dear Bobby, what have you done? Stole yourself a rocket and got burnt by the sun. Now that they found you, do you still think you've won? Oh dear Bobby, what have you done?
Skylar Edson, thank you for being with us today, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start.
I was born in Saginaw, Michigan. I grew up in a house in Saginaw Bay. My dad was a poor, hard-working Saginaw fisherman. Too many times he came home with too little pay.
I loved a girl
in Saginaw, Michigan. The daughter of a wealthy man. But he called me that son of a Saginaw fisherman, and not good enough to claim his daughter's hand. Now I'm up here in Alaska, looking around for gold. Like a crazy fool, I'm a-digging in this frozen grounds of coal. But with each new day, I pray I'll strike it rich, and then I'll go back home and claim my love in Saginaw, Michigan.
I wrote my love
in Saginaw, Michigan. I said, honey, I'm coming home, please wait for me. And you can tell your dad I'm coming back a richer man. I hit the biggest track in Klondike history. Her dad met me in Saginaw, Michigan. He gave me a great big party with champagne. Then he said, son, you're wise, young, ambitious man. Will you sell your father in a lawyer Klondike claim? Now he's up there in Alaska, digging in the cold, cold ground. The greedy fool is looking for the gold I've never found. It serves him right, and no one here is missing him, least of all the newlyweds of Saginaw, Michigan. With the happiest man and wife in Saginaw, Michigan. He's ashamed to show his face.
There's Lefty Frizzell with Saginaw, Michigan. And Mark, I hope you were able to hear that. We were talking about that in our last hour. A quick note, thank you if you were among the 222 people that made a contribution during our 2025 donor drive. We're grateful for your support. Whether you were able to contribute or not, we're grateful that you're here with us and that you understand the power of radio to create community. Your being with us makes all the difference. If you meant to make a contribution and you didn't get a chance to, this is the perfect time. You can call us at 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. You can also stop by slbradio.org/donate to make a secure contribution by credit card, PayPal, or Venmo. If you're not in a position to make a contribution at this time, as I mentioned, you're simply being here means the world to us. Thank you. We have three youth poet ambassadors from the City of Asylum Youth Poetry Ambassador Program coming up in just a moment. We're getting them ready, and you're going to hear a poem from each of them, and we'll talk a bit about the importance of poetry in their lives and in the world at large as well. Saturday. very inspiring to people as well. Did you work with an organization to do that?
Yes, so the club that I have got a fellowship with the Institute for Citizens and Scholars. So they basically funded a project and gave us a couple thousand dollars to get working on anything that we're passionate about, and it's throughout the country. So they gave us guidance throughout this entire year, mentorship to help implement this.
What a great way to learn. So there was describing the work you did there as well as submitting poetry. Mm-hmm. Anything else that supported your application? Probably reference letters, I would think. No?
We don't have any reference letters for the Youth Poet Laureate / Ambassador program, but I know it's a very intense process. They have a lot of applications, so we have a poets that go over it, also Alexis Jabor, who's our mentor throughout this entire process, and they have a committee go through it and see.
Yeah, as I think about it, the reference letters are not requiring them, probably levels the playing field, and a great way for kids that might not have the social capital to get that done. Tell me a little bit more, Vinchika, about the process from your perspective.
Yeah, so very similar to Monroe, I work very closely. I'm the student president of the DT Care Charity in Pittsburgh, and a lot of our work deals with international work, so we regularly donate to countries like Africa, Ukraine, cities in need, and a lot of my poetry is stemmed off of that as a way for me to process my emotions dealing with people of other countries and that language barrier, and writing for me has been my way to overcome languages and countries as a whole. So both my work politically and my work with writing both intersect, and so Youth Poet Laureate was just the next obvious step for me.
And let's hear your perspective, Lilia.
I've been working a lot with my school's GSA. I've been president for 2 years now. We work a lot with the It Gets Better project, which is to help queer youth, especially in like this current political climate. We've gotten a grant from them for 2 consecutive years, and we are very blessed in that avenue. We've done a lot of work with queer homeless youth within our community. And overall, especially in today's world, I think that it's very important for us to have a safe space for people who are part of the LGBTQ+ community. And it's just a really beautiful thing to be a part of that. And I think that was very, very adamant in my application.
Now, why poetry? I know you've got lots of answers for that question, but I can't wait to hear them. There's all sorts of means of self-expression. Some people enjoy prose, music, dance, all sorts of ways. What makes each of you passionate about poetry?
For me, poetry is short. And for me, poetry is not something that, I love to write too. But whenever I write, it's more like word vomit, where I'm just really angry and I just write all my thoughts down really fast. And it doesn't really help me think about why I'm angry or another side. But with poetry, there's a certain form of structure, and there's also a certain form of stanzas and paragraphs that you have to create. And that forces me to really think about why I'm angry, and it really lets me digest. So that's what I love about poetry, that for the most part, it's really short and it's very structured, which lets me think.
To me, poetry is just so beautiful. There's just something special about to be able to write down and put to words how you feel about life, and it helps, like Benchika said, it's a very processing and a very reflective process. But I also love just how different it can take for each individual. I think this program, getting to read some of the other pieces that the other ambassadors and laureates have, it's amazing just how many different, we all have different voices and different passions. It's kind of reflective of our personality, so I think that's another beautiful aspect of it.
For me, I know you kind of talked about all sorts of avenues of art. I feel like I kind of fell down a pipeline. I've always been very interested in music, and I've always written music. But for me, poetry in itself is kind of that same form of you have stanzas, you have measures, you have the same kind of rhythmic attitude towards it. And for me, whereas with writing music, it's very structured, it's kind of the jazz of all writing. Like, there's no real rules to it, and that's kind of the beauty of it. I feel so comfortable in expressing myself through it because it's just a means of feeling something so viscerally and then composing it into, like, either short stanzas or long form and just, I don't know, having it there for yourself. And I think that that is kind of the beauty of it.
You all put that very well and in a very personal way, too. What about sharing your poetry? You each are going to share a poem today, but have you done slams or public performances? And do you like doing them? Not everybody does.
For me, my school is very fortunate in having a poetry club. And every single year we do a grand slam where we offer a bunch of schools to be able to come to our school and just perform, so schools that don't really have that opportunity. And once a month, as well as that, we get to perform our poetry in front of our peers, so I think I've become very comfortable in it, though it hasn't always been something that's been, like, that innate for me. I'm not much of a performer, or at least I wasn't until getting to experience that, so I'm very blessed in that avenue. And then I've also done competitions around the area.
That's great. So you've honed those skills.
Yes.
As a result of just the experiences you've had at Montour High School. What about for you, Monroe?
I think sharing it is definitely a very vulnerable experience. Similarly, my school does have a lot of opportunities. We have Plaid, which is our literary magazine. It's won awards all across the country. And then they do poetry slams once a month. And I'm also the president of our Black Student Union, so we do a conjunction with that for Black History Month. So I definitely get experience throughout the year, but I'm more comfortable behind, like, a pen or a keyboard than going up on the mic. But I think it's good to get out there and be able to share it if there is something about being able to connect with an audience and show a part of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of them. I never really shared my poetry. The first time I really shared my poetry was actually with the Youth Poet Laureate program. And it came as such a surprise that even my parents, whenever I told them that, oh, hey, I got picked to be a Youth Poet Ambassador, they're like, you write poetry? Because that's genuinely how secretive I kept my poetry, just also pieces some stigmatism around poetry. But being able to share my poetry and being able to share my thoughts have brought me closer to, like, my Youth Poet Ambassadors from both this year and last year. And it's let me express my emotions more and let me talk more about what I'm feeling inside. So that's been one of my greatest things about sharing my poetry.
You're listening to the Youth Poet Ambassadors, Vanshika Jain, whose voice you just heard, Monroe Law, and Lilia Strickland. They're each going to share some poetry with you shortly. A note, on January 19th at City of Asylum, there will be a reading and discussion of new and old work along the theme of artificial with the Youth Poet Laureate, Ivy Smith, and with the ambassadors. That should be a very nice evening at City of Asylum. Is it an evening?
Yes.
It is. And that's, I think that's MLK Day. It's a great opportunity for students to make it there with families. Now, we have some time for poetry, and I think we decided Monroe was going to go first. I said let's decide ahead of time. So I just would like to turn everything over to you, and you can take it away. Maybe
perfect.
Tell us
Thank
the title,
you.
And then it's... Everything after that's up to you.
Yes, thank you. It's called The Silence of a Drowning, and I'll just get into reading it. Far off land in an oasis of waves, a ship teeters off at sea. Guided by the stars and drawn forward by God, a man bathes in the sun, his soul unmoored and free. His ship pillages and plows, raping mermaids in their song, a boast of cheer and merry. Drunk in the glory of his own wrong, the man loses his sight, blinded by the greed of the night. The ship whispers fury beneath the calm, its waves swell, a chorus he cannot hear. Overturning timber, splintering palm, a shattered force rising from fear. He laughs still, deaf to the ocean's might, oblivious to the revolt he provokes. As currents gather in the hidden night, unseen hands steering what he broke. Soon the tide will claim what pride defies, and those who gorge on power blind will face the rising that never lies, the voice of many long confined. And that's it.
Wow, I love the meter of it and the rhythm of it. And tell me about your inspiration.
I think that, especially with this year and the current political climate going on, I think we see a lot of people in power taking advantage of the many and people who are just trying to live their lives. And I do think that within time that everything kind of does right itself. And I think it's kind of, for me, this gave me a little bit of hope that we will get past this and that the people that are taking advantage of others will kind of see that, they'll see what they've been doing. So I think it was a little bit of anger, like when she says this, was a little angry at the beginning of it, but I think as I wrote it, it was a little bit of like a reclaiming of the feeling of the kind of that powerlessness that I felt a lot of this year.
Yeah, and hope too, as you go through it. That was beautifully, beautifully done. Who did we decide as next fan? Okay, so let's turn it over to you.
So this is a poem I wrote. Well, now that I'm a junior in high school, I feel like a question. I'm sitting next to two seniors in high school. A question we get asked a lot is, what do you want to do when you grow up? And what college do you want to go to? And there is no question, I think that every teenager can agree with this, there's no question that brings us more stress. So this is a poem I wrote sort of about that. And it's called Prodigy. So in first grade, they told me I was special because I could read a few years above my grade level. I took it to heart, convinced I was a prodigy, convinced my intellect was something to marvel at, to study. Teachers put me in gifted programs, had me tutor my classmates, gave me two stickers on my best essays, told me I would go places someday. I read Macbeth in sixth grade. I used books as an excuse to stay up late, kept track of the people who told me I'd be rich, I'd be successful. This praise hugged every corner of my growing body until it couldn't stretch any further. This praise snapped in half as I grew older. Now, it's not so impressive to read above your grade level, and I have no armor to hide behind. Now, being a perfect student isn't impressive, it's expected. Honors and AP classes are for those who crave knowledge. They're for those who crave grades. And I was only ever taught to care about the grade. But I take the classes because who am I if not ahead? Who am I if not a high achiever? I read marvelous stories, but now they bore me too quickly. I used to devour knowledge before knowledge caught up with me. So why would I try to breathe in words like I used to before my lungs shrunk and I could only make room for bullet points? See, the thing that being told about your special from a young age is that you spend your life chasing that feeling. You search for ways to be exceptional in everything you do. But the thing about being told you're special before everyone else is caught up is that once they do, you lose a part of who you are. Who am I if not a prodigy? I'm growing out of labels like old pairs of jeans. I'm growing out of passion because first grade took it from me.
Wow. I think you captured a lot of feelings that pretty much any early bloomer features or feels. I know I've felt some of those things and still do to some extent. Any reaction from the two of you?
As a senior, that is so real. Oh my goodness. I think it's just something so relatable, and it's just I'm finding myself nodding as she's speaking, because there's something about senior year and having to kind of sum up the last 18 years of your life and present it for someone to evaluate that it's so insecuring. But I loved it.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, especially as someone who's, I wouldn't say the opposite side of it, but like as someone who like had an IEP throughout like my time in like elementary and middle school, I feel like I also found it relatable, but in a like different way, where it's like, I feel like any label that you put on someone from a younger age is going to like kind of stick with them. And I found myself like in the boat of like trying to prove myself for a lot of high school and trying to prove myself to be in that same like AP label. And I don't know, I think it's something just about our school system that is very like, it's competitive in nature and kind of takes away the passion of learning. And
not always, but like to some degree. And so I just found that very like, it kind of stuck with me. Yeah.
Yeah, I can talk about this for hours.
You both were conditioned in a way, Vanchika, to, you know, break the curve or to read above grade level. And in your case, Lilia, to meet what was required and expected of you, I would imagine. And I don't know if I'd call it an albatross. It's really something to bear and to hold that ends up defining you if you're not careful.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, if you're just joining us, by the way, all of the poets that you're hearing, the thing they have in common is they are City of Asylum Youth Poet Ambassadors. You can learn more at cityofasylum.org and look for information on the Youth Poet Ambassadors. They're going to be sharing poems along with this year's Youth Poet Laureate, Ivy Smith, on January 19th at City of Asylum here on the North Side. The theme is artificial. I'm going to ask each of you a little bit about that theme in a minute. But first, Lilia has something to share with us. And what's that?
I call this poem Vertebrate Martyr. There's a hushed scream in the wind. It's heard in abandoned parking lots, in scorched petals, and in plots of grass, once speckled with trees. It's strange. Lantern flies die with their wings contorted, almost sprawled out, twitching antennas and beady eyes, red, spotted backs. Thinking about the sentience of such a small thing horrifies me. God, to a vertebrate, is the roaring, humming whir of a plane engine. Wings only pulse so much, and a pulse without power is silent destruction, such as hunger without ambition is the sustained breath of a martyr. Do you know how many martyrs it takes to create a cataclysm? I only ask because between the blinding, blunt, bright light deaths of white-tailed deer and the same bugs I find weaved in between brick buildings, I've seemed to notice martyrs everywhere. God, to a martyr, is a malicious thing, one that forces and bears children just to leave them abandoned in foggy streets. Sprawled out infantile arms and legs, lantern flies' wings stay crumpled and unused. And a vertebrate's God is a painful thought, made of thrown-away gun wrappers and sidewalk chalk. It's made of the zest of life and the hope and perseverance and the gnawing, growing pains and the scream of silent adherence. It's the brainwashing, mindless, thoughtless collision and pointed-out fingers trembling and silent, one by one by one by one. And with one swift fell stomp, your murder can be created.
Wow. I wish we had more time. Any comments to share?
That was just incredible. Thank you. Oh my gosh, the imagery in that was insane. That was amazing.
Just a little speechless. Like, it was amazing just how you spoke it. You kind of just breathe life into a poem about martyrs, which is powerful.
Thank you so much.
I was hoping to quickly ask you about artificial intelligence, which I'm sure will come up on January 19th. Are you stressed about it?
Not stressed, excited, but, you know, we do have some work to get done, so I feel that.
Yeah. Are we talking about
I'm just curious about just whether, in general, artificial intelligence gives you any feelings. Oh, yeah, not about
that,
the...
Oh, I thought you meant the poetry reading.
That's why I was like, I got confused.
No, yeah. That's okay. I didn't set it up very well.
It's okay.
Well, I'll reclaim my answer. I definitely feel... I've been studying AI in school this year. I'm taking a machine learning class, and I think that's alleviated a lot of my anxieties towards it. And I think as poets, it's definitely something to be a little bit fearful of because... You know, writing is what we do, and we think it's so powerful, and that students should be able to learn how to be able to put their thoughts on paper, and I think AI takes away a piece of that, but I don't think we should fear AI. I think we should be able to reclaim it. It is a tool. It's a computer. It sits in a box. It doesn't have any sentience. So I think once you give it that much power, that's when it really starts to be